thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We are talking about the tragic kingdom. And I want you to think about for just a minute, and we're going to dive into our outline, but what do you think about when you hear the word tragic? I mean, there's nothing happy about the word tragic. When you hear tragic, you hear about things that are probably unexpected, devastating, things that change or alter the course of your life, but they're filled with things that don't bring fond thoughts or memories to us. When we were back there during worship, I wrote myself down a note, and I wrote this down. The only way that the tragic kingdom can be successful on planet Earth is if the people of God do nothing. Because there is a tragic kingdom out there. We talked about the magic kingdom, and that's where most people want to live. Just live in this blissful land that everything is going to go the way they want them to go, and unfortunately, it's not true. But there's also a tragic kingdom out there, and that's what I want us to talk about tonight. I want us to talk about the tragic kingdom, and I want us to look at things related to the tragic kingdom, and they're both going to be on your outline, and I'm going to explain them both by looking at two parables or two stories that Jesus told. So Jesus told these stories for a reason, and what we're going to do tonight as we look into God's Word is we're going to discover, why did God tell this story, and why did He tell it this way? So first of all, I want you to look at your outline, and I want to give to you the definition of the word tragic. It's not a surprise to any of us, but I want to give to you the definition of the word tragic. Here it is: dreadful, calamitous, disastrous, or fatal, a tragic event. That's what a tragedy is. And there is a kingdom out there called the tragic kingdom that is leading people to a place where at the end of their lives, they're going to all of a sudden wake up and realize, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. This is a real thing, the tragic kingdom. And there are people today that are being swallowed up in the tragic kingdom. And I want to paint this picture by having us look at the tragic kingdom through two lenses, through the obvious lenses and through what I would call the ominous lens. So we're going to look at the tragic kingdom, first of all, through the obvious lens, and we're going to do it by looking at a story of the Good Samaritan. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, but I want to read this to us because something very tragic that is happening in this story that many, 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 many people, I would submit to us today, are missing in the world that we're living today. So let me start by reading this to you. One day, an expert in the religious law. So remember, Jesus is telling this story, and he's doing it because he wants to arrest our attention, and he wants to arouse our interest. So one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" So that was what he wanted to know. What do I need to do? What do I need to understand to know that there's life after living here on planet Earth? So he starts by asking that question. Jesus replies, "What does the law of Moses say?" Interesting that Jesus would ask that. Why is that interesting? Because Jesus is asking the question to someone that already knows the answer. Think about that. He is a religious expert. So he's asking Jesus a question that he already knows the answer to. Interesting. So, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? So Jesus turns it back to do what? Arrest his attention. How do you read it? The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Right? Jesus told him, "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" So again, let's try to understand that what Jesus is going to paint a picture of here is personal responsibility. How do we know it's personal responsibility? Because the man already knows the law. And I'm going to submit to you today, when we're talking about the tragic kingdom, from the obvious lenses, we already know what to do. We already know what to do. So what are we who are a part of the kingdom of God? You and I are a part of the kingdom of God. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not out there that you would see it with signs. The kingdom of God is within. So those of us that have accepted Christ are living in the kingdom of God. We are going to talk about that in the next 2 weeks. But there are two other kingdoms out there that are as real as the kingdom of God, and they are the magic kingdom and the tragic kingdom. So Jesus is talking in this story about the Good Samaritan about personal responsibility. So let me continue on. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied with a story. So again, the man is saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he wants to know what he can gain. Jesus turns it back on him with something that he already knows the answer to, because he quotes the answer. I know what I need to do. I need to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, strength, and love my neighbor as myself. How many of you would say that's obvious? That is obvious. We're called to love God. It's the greatest commandment. So Jesus says, let me illustrate it further for you by telling you a story. Jesus replied, a Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed by him. So who's a priest? Priest is somebody that knows what they're supposed to do. A priest is someone that Jesus is talking to in this story. This man is a priest. So Jesus uses this man first and foremost as an illustration. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there and also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. So this was a man that was not accepted generally. So this despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now you go and do the same. So Jesus was not asking this man to solve a mystery or solve a riddle. He was asking him to answer an obvious question. And what was the obvious question? And Jesus paints this beautiful picture of this road that is being traveled by humanity. So Jericho at that time was the place that the favored lived. In other words, the priests and the Levites lived in Jericho. That journey from Jericho to Jerusalem is somewhere between 13 and 15 miles. And the city of Jerusalem was the place of commerce. The city of Jerusalem was where everybody came to do life and live life. So between Jericho, where the religious people lived, and the temple priests who took care of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, where life happened, was this 15-mile strip of land that was the road where this man was beat up. So on this road from where the religious people lived to where everybody else did life was this dangerous place. And along this dangerous place, people were attacked and people were robbed and they were killed. They were murdered. And so a man says to Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, let me tell you a story. And he paints a picture that is a vivid and obvious illustration to a priest. Why? Because a priest knew what his responsibilities were. He lived here when he was off duty. He would often go up to Jerusalem, take care of his temple responsibilities, but he knew that from point A to point B, there was great danger along the road. And I would submit this to us today. Between point A, where we do life, and point B, where we're going to spend eternity, is this road that is filled with great danger. And along this road that is filled with great danger are the people that Jesus described in this story as a parable or a metaphor. Those that want to do great harm to people and those that would like to kill people. And so Jesus uses this great story to talk about this unsafe journey that people are taking. And the fact of the matter is, planet Earth is filled today with people that are taking an unsafe journey. And the unsafe journey that they're taking is that they're on this journey toward the tragic kingdom because they don't know anything about the kingdom of God. And there are people along the way that want to steal, kill, and destroy their very life. So I want to go through some obvious things in this story that Jesus, I believe, wants us to pick up. One of the things that I love about the stories that Jesus told in the Bible is that it gives me an opportunity to wonder about certain things. I have an opportunity when I read the story about the Good Samaritan to wonder, why didn't the priest stop? Why didn't the man who knew what was right, the great commandment, what must I do? Jesus said, what do you got to do? You got to love God with all of your heart, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, here's a perfect example to love your neighbor as yourself. Stop along the way and help somebody that's wounded. And he completely misses the opportunity and walks right by it. So I love that the parables give us an opportunity to wonder about certain things. And I'm asking you to do that as we dive into this tonight. So let's wonder a little bit about what Jesus was talking about. I would suspect that for the priest and the Levite, they had great excuses of why they didn't stop to help the man that was dying. Do you know that we come across people every single day that are dying spiritually? Every single day, we walk across people's paths who are wounded and beat up by the tragic kingdom and the world that they're living in, and they're dying, and we're crossing over to the other side of the road. Why didn't the priest stop? Why didn't the Levite stop? Why didn't the people that knew do something about it? Why did they ignore it? You know, last week, it was Saturday, and I don't know why this hit me like it did. I think part of it is maybe what you would call a code of cyclists. Seems like when somebody on a bicycle is stopped and on the side of the road, and I've just picked it up because I've been doing it for a couple years, cycling that is, if somebody is stopped on the side of the road, generally somebody stops and says, what's wrong? Are you okay? Can we do anything? So Pastor Roger Funk and I last Saturday are coming down Lookout Mountain, and we're coming down. You can go down a lot faster than you can go up. And we're coming down, and we're going pretty fast, and there's several people ahead of us, and they just keep going, and they're going, and they're going, and Pastor Roger's ahead of me, and I'm behind him, and all of a sudden, I just notice out of the corner of my eye that there's a lady on the side of the road, and she's got a look that said everything. And so I yelled to Roger to try to get his attention. I wasn't sure if he heard me or not, but I pulled over on the side of the road, and I just said to the lady who was parked with her bike, I said, are you okay? And at first, she didn't answer me. And I said, is everything okay? And she said, no. I have a flat tire, and I don't know what to do, and I don't have a pump. And I said, well, can I help you? Can we take the tire off? And she said, well, I don't have a pump. And I said, well, I have a pump. And we begin to take the tire off, and I can see this look of disgust on her face. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the story. And what was obvious was that those that were riding with her kept going when her bike broke. They just kept going. And she's trying to wrap her brain around how one of them happened to be her husband. How her husband and the others just kept riding up the mountain and left her stranded on the side of the road. And when I read this story, I think, how many times do we walk by the obvious where we know somebody needs help because we've just got too many things going on? And we just think that somebody else will help. And unfortunately, that is what promotes the tragic kingdom. Every day we're walking by people, the priest and the Levite, but yet the Samaritan, the man that was judged, and the man that was labeled, was the one that went out of his way to go and help this man. And Jesus is telling this story in answer to the question, how do I have eternal life? How do I spend eternity with you? So I want us to go through a few things that are very obvious with this part of the story. The first one is this, number one. The obvious is where we become desensitized to people's pain. The tragic kingdom becomes obvious when we become desensitized to people's pain. When and if that happens, in your life, the tragic kingdom is creeping in. Kingdom that says, I got to cross the road because I've got too much going on. And we've got to guard against that because we live in a world that is filled with pain, and who are going to be the administrators of the ointment or the salve that is needed if it's not the people of God who understand the kingdom of God? Who's it going to be if it's not us? This last week, and I'm so thankful for these opportunities. This last week, I was up at Eagle Rock teaching in YWAM, and there were 50 students in what they call a YPDTS, a young people DTS, 17 to 23, 24. The oldest girl in the school was 23 years old, and she said this to me, and it's not private. She would not mind me saying this, but we were sitting around the table eating, and she said to me as we were sitting around the table eating, there were eight of us at lunch, I love to sit down and eat with the students because I want to hear their story. And she said to me, I'm not supposed to be here. And I said, why aren't you supposed to be here? And she said, I'm supposed to get married on October 19th. And the man that proposed to me and washed my feet in a river in front of my parents and his parents walked out and changed his mind. And she said, I'm not supposed to be here. And I could see the pain all over her. And as I went around and as I taught last week, and I'm talking about 17-year-olds, I'm talking about 18-year-olds, I'm talking about 19-year-olds, I'm talking about having a ministry time where these young people came forward and the pain that they're living in, I could hardly take it. I'm telling you, I could hardly take it. What I was grateful for was the ability to pray for them and see them deliver from pain, but to have a young man walk up to me and say, I believe this lie all of my life, and then the power of God come over him and set him free. And then a young girl come up and say, I've been addicted to this all of my life, and the power of God come over her. And I'm telling you, I saw it happen. I saw people get set free. And it only happens when people that are part of the kingdom of God say, that's me. People, they don't become desensitized by the obvious, but they pay attention to it and they show up. It's just about showing up. And the Samaritan just saw that man that had gotten beaten up, and he walked across the road and he saw him and he took care of him. It's a tragic kingdom out there, and there's people all along the roadside, and they might not have physical wounds on them, but they are broken and they are beaten up, and I saw it. But here's what I'm telling you. At the end of that week, those 50 kids, to God be the glory, I'm telling you, to God be the glory, those 50 kids were different. They were different. I mean, I'm telling you, different. I saw it. And I got to be a part of that. So the obvious when the tragic kingdom is working is that people are becoming desensitized. Don't let it happen. Walk across the street. There are people hurting everywhere we go. Number two, with the priest and the Levite, there was a selfish indifference. There was just this selfish indifference that, I got to go take care of my spiritual business. I'm a priest or I'm a Levite. I got to get back down to the temple and I got to pray, or I got to get back up there and I got to wash my clothes, or whatever nonsense they convinced themselves was true of is the lie they believed. And there became this selfish indifference. I wrote this down on my outline. It's not on yours, but I'm going to read it to you. The actions of men are the best interpreters of what they're thinking. The actions of men or women are the best interpreters of what we're thinking. My actions interpret what I'm thinking. I don't have time for you. And the priest and the Levite didn't have time. And the question was asked, how do I inherit eternal life? Well, what does the Bible say? Love your neighbor. Well, go do it. Well, let me tell you a story. It's a broken down man lost in the tragedy of this dangerous road that people have to travel all the time. And the fact of the matter that people are born into this world. And at one point, they are going to be recruited by one of three kingdoms. And I've said this already. They're going to be recruited by the magic kingdom. That's fantasy and fiction. They're going to be recruited by the tragic kingdom, where the enemy has his clutches and the power of the lies of the enemy have just paralyzed them. Or they're going to receive the revelation of the kingdom of God, which we in this room have received. because we know Jesus is our Savior. So the next obvious one is number three. The obvious in the tragic kingdom is where excuses are often self-justified. There must have been excuses, and I said this a moment ago. What this story allows us is it allows us some wonder. I wonder why. I wonder why he didn't stop. I wonder why he didn't. I wonder why he did. And it allows us some wonder. And I think life allows us some wonder. And it allows us some wonder because we have to come face to face with excuses sometimes. This was a roller coaster week for me. It's been a roller coaster week for me. And I've made a few excuses this week, to tell you the truth. I've made a few excuses and I just got to man up and I own it, and it's been tough on me, and it's easy to get caught up in that, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be an excuse maker, and I don't want to self-justify things, and because there's a bigger picture out there. I'm part of the kingdom of God, and there's people out there in the tragic kingdom and in the magic kingdom that in this next story that we're going to look at, and we're going to do it fast. So don't worry, I'm not going to keep you all night. You know, last week when I was teaching at YWAM, I could not. It always happens, and part of it is they're younger and they probably have functions in their body. I know this is too much information, but there's just things that allow them to sit longer than people that get a little older. You know what I'm talking about? And they just want to keep going, and they just want to keep going, and they don't want me to quit. And so I teach for an hour, and they say, "Don't give us a break." I teach for an hour and a half, they say, "Don't give us a break." And okay. I'm not going to do that tonight, so you're welcome. Number four. Number four. So we're talking about obvious things. Say obvious. This is such an obvious story with the Good Samaritan. There's a hurt man, two people walk by, one stops. So obvious, so obvious. People are desensitized, there's selfish indifference, there's excuses that become self-justified. And number four, the tragic kingdom is defeated. If we want to defeat the tragic kingdom, it is defeated by those who take risks and those who make great sacrifices. That Samaritan took a risk, and he made a great sacrifice. The risk that he took was to dare to even go talk to a Jew, because he was considered an outcast. He was considered somebody that was not even welcomed into the community of the Jew. So here Jesus is talking about a Good Samaritan to a Jew when he's telling the story, so he's already creeped out by it. Oh, a Samaritan? Jesus, a Samaritan? Couldn't you just talk, a Samaritan, really? You got to talk about that kind of a guy? But here's a guy that takes great risk, and he goes to a Jew, and he helps the Jew, and then he takes care of him, and he takes him over to the inn, and he makes the great sacrifice. I said this last week, 2 weeks ago. The great sacrifices are not the big things that you do. The great sacrifices are the little things you do that nobody else sees. I have a lot of people in my life that make great sacrifices. They do little things that make big differences in my life. And oh, do I pay attention to that? Oh, do I notice that? These things are obvious. So if we want to defeat the tragic kingdom, then we've got to be willing to make some great sacrifices. Now let me shift gears. We just talked about the obvious things in the tragic kingdom. Let me talk to you for a couple minutes about the ominous things in the tragic kingdom. And let me give you a definition of what I mean by ominous. And then I'm going to tell it to you by reading a story that Jesus talked about in the Bible. So the word ominous is this. It's warning of evil or harm, foreboding. Warning of evil or harm, foreboding, threatening, or unfavorable. So, the reality of the tragic kingdom is that there are some things that are very obvious. There are people beat up on the side of the road, and they're not being taken care of. And then there's some things that are more ominous. And those are things that are warnings of evil or harm that's on its way. Things that are threatening, things that are unfavorable. When I read this story, and I wrote it on my notes, and I'm just going to jot down what I wrote. You will not find this on your notes. But here's what I wrote in my notes about this next story that I'm going to read to you in Luke chapter 16. This is a story that makes everything in us recoil. When we read this next story, it's going to make everything in us recoil. It's like, really, God? Is that really true? Now, it's Jesus that's telling this story, but it's something, that makes us recoil. And I wonder if it doesn't even make God recoil, because God loves people so much. I wonder if it doesn't just grip God's heart in such a way. This is the only parable, if you will, in the Bible where a name is actually used. The man who dies in this parable, he's named Lazarus. It's the only parable in the Bible where you can find a name actually used. And so let me say something to you, and then we're going to read this. We cannot read into or write anything out what the Bible says. Would you agree with that? Right. Cannot read into or write out anything that the Bible says. That is Bible 101. That is inductive Bible study 101. That is exegesis. That's what it is in the Greek. Exegesis, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I want to challenge us that when we look at this story, that we don't read into or write out of this story anything that Jesus is saying, because this is Jesus talking. And again, we're talking about eternity. The first question was, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And this is about eternal life too. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived every day in luxury. How many of you know that that's part of the world that we live in today? At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Now, Jesus is telling this story, so why? I often say this to you that have heard me teach before. So what, now what? So what, Jesus, you're telling this story, but now what? Now what should arrest my attention about this story? Here's this pitiful man that is begging for food and dogs are licking his sores. Finally, the poor man died and he was carried by angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in a far distance with Lazarus at his side. So both these men are now dead. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish of these flames. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything that you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over from you to here, and no one can cross over from us to there. Then the rich man said, Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. So now he's thinking about people that are left on planet Earth. For I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. So Jesus is describing a place of torment that this rich man went to when he died. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, even if they won't listen to Moses or the prophets, he says, if they won't listen to Moses or the prophets, they won't listen to someone, even if he rises from the dead. So now all of a sudden we get this story about Jesus talking about this tragic kingdom of what the reality of the end of life is all about. The end of life, the fact of the matter is this. Remember, we can't read anything into or write anything out of the Bible. Everybody's going to die. And everybody's going to end up in one of two places. And it has nothing to do with riches necessarily on earth as much as it does of the riches or the resources internally. In other words, just because you're wealthy does not mean you're going to end up in hell. The picture that Jesus is painting with this story is that there's two places that people are going to end up. And that's the reality of people that don't understand the kingdom of God. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. What is my responsibility? To accept that reality and say, God, I accept that and I acknowledge it. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. It's no more complicated than that. But in the tragic kingdom where the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies, resides, he wants people to live in the magic kingdom that is filled with fantasy and fiction and doesn't get us thinking about the other side and what's going to happen after the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, however long we live on planet Earth, or the tragic kingdom, where people are broken along the roadside. But Jesus paints this picture here. And he's saying, the reality of it is, when you die, there is going to be a great chasm between those who lived in the kingdom, my kingdom, the kingdom of God, and those that didn't. And so now we have a great responsibility. Those of us in the kingdom have a great responsibility to the obvious that we just looked at in the story of the Good Samaritan, but also the ominous. And the ominous is much more subtle, I think, because there's things going on inside of the hearts of people that you and I can't see. But if they're not pointed to Christ, and if they're not pointed to Jesus, he makes it very clear what happens at the end of life. So I want to give us a couple more things in closing, and let me do this quickly. Number 5 on your outline. The tragic kingdom is a kingdom of delusion leading to deception. The Bible said, and Jesus was telling the story, there's this rich man that had everything afforded to him, all of the luxuries. He had this opportunity to reach out to a poor man, a beggar, someone that had nothing, and he didn't do it. If you and I are a part of the kingdom, we are rich. We are wealthy. How are we rich and how are we wealthy? We are going to spend eternity with Jesus. Do we all not know that? We're going to spend eternity with Christ. No more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. This is not heaven. We talked about that at the beginning of the message. So we are rich in this life. The metaphor, the picture here of the poor man or the man that is begging, as having his sores licked by an animal, is the person that does not understand the reality that there is an afterlife. And we, who are part of the kingdom of God, have a great responsibility to tell them why, because of number 5. The tragic kingdom is a kingdom of delusion and deception. This rich man was living in delusion and deception, and all of a sudden he wakes up dead. He's dead, but he's alert. And all of a sudden he says, I don't want to be here. Let me out of here. I mean, imagine what that must be like. And Jesus is the one telling this story. It's a place that's great reality. Hell is as real as heaven. And people are going to both places. And until we get to the place where we talk about the clash of the kingdoms and the devil who is a father of lies who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and until we tell that story and until we preach it and teach it and live it, people are going to go to hell. They are going to go to hell. And that's what this story is about. And people are deceived. Number 6. In the tragic kingdom. This is a hard message. Say, I know. It's a hard message, but people need to hear it. Number 6. In the tragic kingdom, people die of neglect. It is the simple and not the miraculous that is most needed. Let me explain that to you a minute. In the tragic kingdom, people die of neglect. This poor man died of neglect. There was a rich man. Jesus described it that way. He lived in luxury. And this other man died of neglect. So maybe he saw him every single day. And he was named Lazarus. Jesus put a personal face on this man. Never before has he done it in the Bible until this parable. Put a personal face in a parable. There's a man named Lazarus. And it's almost as if you get this picture. You have some wonder in this story, did this man walk by and know his name every single day and do nothing to reach out to him? Do we every single day walk by people that we know don't know Jesus and do nothing to share the good news of who Jesus Christ is? So it's a kingdom filled with neglect, and it's the simple and not the miraculous that is most needed. Ask me how I know that. Ask me how I know that. It's in the Bible, and let me show you where it's in the Bible. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, that means what's written in the Bible. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus said that. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, then they're not even going to believe the miraculous. That's how much delusion and deception there is. How do I know? Because Jesus said it. So it's not this supernatural stuff that's going to make a difference. It's the practical stuff. Why? What's the practical stuff? Jesus said it with the Good Samaritan. Love God and love people. That's it. You want to see people rescued from the tragic kingdom? You want to see people rescued from the magic kingdom? Love them. Love them. That's what Jesus did. Just love them. Love them where they're at. Love them and meet them where they're at. So it's the simple and not the miraculous that's needed. If God wants to do the miraculous, he'll do the miraculous. Do you believe that? But show up intending to do the simple and leave the miraculous to God. What was simple in this story? Don't walk by Lazarus, you rich man. God could say the same thing to me. Blake, you are rich. Your name is written in heaven. You're going to spend eternity with me. I died for you, Blake. You're rich. You're rich beyond comprehension. But there's poor, and there's the beggar. And what they're poor and what they're begging for is the reality of the kingdom of God that lives inside of me and the reality of the kingdom of God that lives inside of you. And so it's not miraculous. It's just simple. This is a sobering, this is an ominous reality. And God puts it in the Bible because he wants us to think about what that's going to be like. That rich man that thought he had it all figured out but died and went to hell. And now he's crying out, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Here's what I know. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 37, Jesus said this. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, and for the sake of what? The good news. What's the good news? The good news is the kingdom of God, Jesus. That's the good news. Give up your life for that, then you're going to save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, if you're rich, like this rich man? What do you gain if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And that's what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 16. So let me give you the last point. Go ahead, Brandon, why don't you guys come up here, and let me give you the last point and just close with a couple thoughts. Here's a reality about the tragic kingdom. And write this down and don't miss this. In the tragic kingdom, people are not extinct, they are conscious. I want you to think about that for a minute. In the tragic kingdom, people are not extinct, they are conscious. When people leave planet Earth, they don't cease to exist. We will never cease to exist as a human. We will never cease to exist. It's woven all the way through the scripture. We are going to live eternally. The question is, where are we going to live eternally? And we know that because the story, here's a story of two dead men. And Jesus is telling the story about how they're talking from the dead, from the grave. One man is with Jesus, the other is not. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis was told about a gravestone inscription that read, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." Lewis quietly replied, "I bet he wishes that were so." All dressed up with no place to go, I bet he wishes that were so, because the fact of the matter is, he found out that there was a place to go. And the place he went was not the place that God intended for him to be. And there are going to be people in hell who God does not intend to be there. We can change that. We can change that by saying, we who are a part of the kingdom of God, who have Christ on the throne of our hearts, do the simple things. Don't walk past the man that's on the road. Don't walk past him. Cross over. See what he needs. Don't walk past the beggar who seems to have nothing in life. Do the simple thing and love them. It's the most challenging thing that Jesus has ever asked us to do, is the thing that gives us the greatest impact on planet Earth. Think about how you've been loved. Think about what love has done for you. Let's stand to our feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.